What a choice. What a choice by our friend City Limits, a.k.a. Neutron. This changed my mood this morning. I was a little bit tense. Now I feel freer, happier, lighter. Plus, Paul arrived, which always makes me happy.
Paul came and greeted me today, earlier today. It was great.
Why did you arrive so early today, Paul? That's not like you.
I try to get here and get situated. Some days it works. Other days it doesn't.
Today it did. It worked.
I got here. There were no traffic mishaps. There were no nonsensical things that happened. So it was good. I was able to come here, relax a little, right? Drink a little coffee, relax, get ready to go.
You and I had a nice bonding session yesterday at Willowbrook Country Club. We bonded quite well. I was unhappy for 9 holes, and then I was happier. You played unbelievably well. You did.
I'm getting back. I'm coming back. It's been a grind, you know. When you're physically, you know, trying to fight through little injuries and things of the such.
Yeah.
But I felt a lot better hitting the ball yesterday. And that's the most important thing is like when you're coming back is do you feel good when you're hitting the ball.
You looked great, I'll tell you that. And then
well, thank you.
And then our friends Neil and Joe,
yes.
we had a wonderful time.
We had a
great time there.
Well, yeah, what a great course that is too, huh?
No, it was beautiful. The whole thing was beautiful.
You made a comeback. You made a second half rally. Right? Back 9 rallies.
I hit a drive that went almost 300 yards.
Yes.
That's a fact, isn't it?
Yes. Actually, I think
it was pure rage and anger. I think I was thinking of Ron when I hit that drive.
He measured it at, 310?
I don't know if it went that far. I don't know if it did, but it went close to 300.
Yes.
And it was pure, unadulterated rage is what it was. So I got to sort of bottle that. Limits, how are you today? Everything good in your world?
I'm great, Joe. You know, yesterday the allergies are really getting to me. I feel a lot better today.
The haircut's unbelievable. I'll say that much. You look great, and I think we have so much stuff to talk about. We had Mike Florio on this station yesterday wondering whether the Steelers will place this fifth-year option on Najee Harris. I believe the deadline is 4 o'clock today. A little more than, $6 million is the price tag for that. He said it's a tougher call. And he said, I remember this with Doug Martin when the Buccaneers didn't pick up his fifth-year option. He basically said, wondering. He said they signed him to a new contract after that fourth season. So he thinks that part of this is the psychology of getting the most out of a player. I'll be honest about this, Paul. I wouldn't have a problem if they didn't pick it up because why commit money to that position beyond 1 year when it's a position of just of damage, of violence, of giving the ball to a guy hundreds of times and seeing if he can survive? On the other hand, it's not a lot of money. So I hate to not have the hottest take in the world, but I can honestly say that either way it goes today, I think I'll be okay with it. If it were up to me, would I give him the fifth-year option? Probably not, actually. Probably not.
I don't think I would
either.
Just
because there's no reason to.
You don't need to.
Right.
If you want to sign him, you can sign him to a 3-year deal or something. Right?
Yes. But why would you commit future monies to this position when you don't have a star? That's
right.
The bottom line. If this is a star, it's a no-brainer. I'm trying to sign him long-term.
Right.
If I can't do that, I'm guaranteeing he'll be here for the fifth year. I love Najee's running style. I love his attitude and his demeanor, but he's not a star. I feel like I could get a lot of guys if I just am looking at the numbers to put up those kinds of numbers.
Right. I think that's the big thing with Najee Harris is he's a good player, but he's not a star. And I would say he's borderline not a difference maker either. I mean, I think he's a good player. You know, there's that area, Joe, between borderline star, impact player. I don't know. You can get a guy to do what Najee Harris has done. You really can if you really are looking for it. And quite frankly, you could draft a rookie next year that probably could give you the same thing for a lot less money.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, if he comes out and he has a great season, you can always sign him for a couple years, 2 or 3 year deal.
And then there's franchise tags down the road too.
There's a bunch of stuff.
Can you not franchise a guy if you don't extend the 5th year option? That I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, is he just completely free to go? I don't know. But does somebody think that Najee is going to take a complete star turn? Maybe with this offensive line projected to be what it is. But Paul, in his career, he has a average per carry of 3.9 yards. And I know a lot of people will say, well, that's an old school stat. There's a lot more to it than that. Just watch the games.
Right.
He runs like a maniac, which I love.
Right.
Got a little bit of a nose for the end zone, which I like too. The longest run of his career is 37 yards, and he averages 3.9 yards a carry. You're right. I could get a rookie or a lot of guys to do that, and there's teams around the league that prove that all the time, notably the Chiefs.
Exactly. That's the thing about it. And so, but if you listen to Mark Caballi yesterday, it sounds to me like they're going to sign him, that they're going to give him this 5th-year option.
I know,
option.
But why are they waiting this long? Most other teams for these options but have already done it.
He said they do it all the time.
What they don't do all the time, though, is actually extend it. I don't think Edmonds got one. Bud Dupree did get one. Who else of recent first-round picks? Devin Bush sure did.
Devin Bush didn't get one. Kenny Pickett won't be getting one.
I don't think so.
what I'm saying is, I have not paid attention close enough to the timing of all this stuff.
Yeah.
But according to Caballi, who again covers the Steelers they wait till the end every year.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't be. I'm expecting that they will do.
Yes.
But I think you and I are on the same page that it's just not necessary.
And the thing is, it's one of those deals. It's one of those things where I don't necessarily hate it, but I wouldn't do it. You know, like it's not something that if they do it, we'll be sitting here tomorrow ripping them and all that other stuff.
Because it's not an exorbitant amount of money.
And it's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things.
It might cost you a player. It could cost you a player.
Yeah.
But you would have to bring in a running back of some sort anyway.
Right.
So that would cut into that six plus million. And what have we seen
across the league? You can get running backs almost anywhere.
Here's the deal. 3 of the past 16 Super Bowl champions had a 1,000-yard rusher. 3 of the past 16. And on top of that, one of them was LeGarrette Blount. Another was Ray Rice, who wound up splitting time with Bernard Pierce that year anyway for the Ravens. And on top of that, 1,000 yards is nothing in 17 games. Paul?
Yeah.
That's less than 60 yards a game.
And
that's about what Najee's giving you. He's not a receiver anymore. Warren is the third down back. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about a guy that everybody likes. I get it. I do too.
I think that there are still people who have convinced themselves he's better than he actually is. You know what I mean, Joe?
Yes.
He runs hard. He runs tough. He runs physical. At times he runs angry. I get all that, but if you step back, just step back and look at his actual production, I'm not sure that we come to the same conclusion that he's anything more than just sort of a good player who he does what they ask him to do, but you can find somebody to do what he does.
I like the nose for the goal line. I do think that separates him just a little bit. I do like that. But, man, a couple years ago, especially when he was drafted, word was, this is like a wide receiver, too. And I do think he could be used more in the pass game. But the fact of the matter is that Warren is probably better at that. And Warren is their third down back. So you're talking about a part-time back who's not a home run hitter.
Right.
So are we wrong here? I heard the PM guys talking about this yesterday. I think we're more aligned with Pony than we are with Mueller. And people seem to be angry at Pony for taking this stance. Where are you with this? Let's open up the lines early here at 412-928-9370.
So Mueller thinks they should pick it up and Pony...
Actually, no, I might have misrepresented Mulsey there. I just know that people were angry with Pony for saying, don't do this.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, I was pretty sure Pony yesterday when I was listening to him, was basically saying it was a bad idea. So I didn't know if Molsey took the opposite approach and said they need to do this.
No.
Okay.
No, don't quote me on that one.
All right.
I think he also is of the opinion. I don't know what Molsey said. I forget. I've tuned him out ever since we worked together. I don't know what Molsey said, but I know what Pony said. I do know what Pony said, and we want to hear what you have to say. Call us. Should this be extended to Najee Harris at whatever it is, $6.8 million, something just below $7 million, which is, when you get down to it, Paul, that's really not a large number, which I think is why you and I probably wouldn't find ourselves shredding the Steelers. We might disagree, but it's a hard thing to shred them over. 928-9370. Here are some of the leading rushers for Super Bowl teams. And I realize also that the Steelers are building a team that is going to be largely centered around the run. Yeah. Arthur Smith.
Right.
They just drafted an entire offensive line practically. They've thrown tons of money at their guards. They want to have a team that is centered around the run game, an old school type of team. Here are the leading rushers for lots of recent playoff teams, or Super Bowl champions, I should say. Isaiah Pacheco, Sony Michel, Ronald Jones, James White, Damian Williams, Mike Bell, Cam Akers, and LeGarrette Blount was twice on two consecutive Super Bowl teams, the 16 Patriots, the 17 Eagles. He was their leading rusher. And when you look at the stars, the true stars that have come through the league, they're fun to watch, but it really doesn't equate to champions. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, whoever else you want to name. That doesn't mean that you don't want one of those guys.
Right.
That's why I argued at the time of the draft that the Steelers should take Najee Harris, because my feeling is that running backs can be had anywhere unless you're getting a star.
Right.
And I think this guy's going to be a star, and so far I was wrong.
Right. And that's where that discussion gets really confusing for some people. Because they say, oh, well, you know, Najee Harris, see, it's more proof that you don't take a running back in the first round. No, that's not more proof. It's more proof that you take any first round pick you take at any position is a crapshoot, regardless of how good you think they are. But if you think that you are getting a star, a superstar, and there's no question the Steelers thought in Najee Harris, they were going to get a superstar. Mm-hmm. They were getting one of these elite backs in the category of the guys that you just mentioned, and that's why they went and got him. So, you know, the thing about it is, has it worked out? I mean, it's worked out to the point where he has at least become a running back, a starting running back for them and whatnot. But I think, obviously, it hasn't worked out in that he hasn't become like a superstar.
Devil's advocate against both of us. How much of the Steelers' quarterback issues, coordinator issues, systemic issues, offensive line issues have worked against Najee? And if he fixed those things, is he a 1,500-yard guy?
I don't see. Here's why I don't see that. When was the last time you saw him run away from anybody?
Yeah, he's not a home run. And wasn't in college,
right,
either.
Yeah, that's
he had holes the size of Mulsey's cranium,
right,
in college.
Right. My point is that's the thing. I don't see him as that guy that's going to take it to the house, so to speak.
Yeah.
I don't see him as that guy. I think 6 to 10 yard, you know, runs are probably tops for him, which is okay. I mean, every so often he's got a 15 or an 18 or a 20, but he's just not going to run away from anybody.
He's had some really good games,
right,
in key moments. I'll definitely acknowledge that. He's not a bad player. He's just not a star. And again, I point to the punishment factor. Like, it just doesn't seem sound economically at that position to commit to something beyond next season.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, what the number is, 6'8", I think. The top 10 paid running backs, average monies per year right now, are McCaffrey 16, Kamara 15. There's only five guys in double digits. And then you have Mixon, DeAndre Swift, Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard, and James Conner is the 10th highest paid runner in the NFL in terms of average money. And, well, first of all, combined Super Bowls for the top 10 guys is zero. And then secondly, this has just become a position of use them up on their first contract, maybe give them the fifth year, and then say goodbye. And it sucks for them. It does. At that position, which is one of the most punishing positions, if not the most punishing position in all of sports, that they don't get compensated in a different way, but right. It's also a fact of life in the NFL.
It is.
You can win without him.
And you mentioned the name there, James Conner, who, if the Steelers had kept, right, I don't know that it would have been any different than having Najee Harris, which only proves the point. There are a lot of good running backs there you can find. There are a lot of guys that can get the job done, and you can get them, you know, relatively cheap.
You talk about a touchdown maker. That's James Conner.
He's better at getting to the end zone, that's for sure.
And he's got a career yards per carry 4.3. He had a 1,000-yard season last
but
year.
But he's not a superstar. He's not, you know, a game-changing star like that. And as a result, I think he's very, very, very similar to Najee Harris in terms of what his impact is.
I mean, if you asked every defensive coordinator in football, if you gave him truth serum, Paul, and you said you get one guy for your franchise right now, Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren or Najee Harris, how many coaches, offensive coordinators in the league take Warren? I'd say at least half, don't you think? Is he a better player than Najee?
Maybe not half. Maybe like about 30%, 34%.
Do you think he's better than Najee?
No. I think he's a good player, but I think Najee Harris is the thing about Jaylen Warren is he's very consistent in terms of but he also has a lot of runs that look like, you know, they're going to be big runs that end up going for two yards.
I hear that, but
I think he's a good player.
But
he is
averaging over five. And yeah. I'll also say there have been situations where Warren gets those junk carries on third and long and piles up. But he's still averaging over five, and he did have a 74-yard run, which Najee hasn't had his entire college or pro career.
Right.
Anything close?
Well.
So I wonder if you gave every team in the league a crack at one of those guys, how many would take Warren over Najee? That's another factor here. The Steelers have another guy. And the sad fact of the matter is you can find running backs anywhere.
Right. That's the biggest thing. I think that's the overall point that we're both making here, is that Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, James Conner, all those guys that you mentioned that just won Super Bowls, they're all the same to me, right? They're all kind of the same to me. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Now, I'm sure we're going to get some calls here where people saying just what I said before, that Najee's been held back. And there may be some merit to that argument. There may be.
I don't know if
you have the ideal situation, what do you get? You ain't getting Derrick Henry under any circumstance, right?
No. That's the problem. And so, to me, there's about three or four of those. How many guys, Joe, would you say are at that level at the running back position? Derrick Henry's no longer, but...
I mean, there's Henry, there's McCaffrey, there's...
Okay, McCaffrey. Now, there's legitimately, okay, he's a game-changing difference maker at running back.
Yeah. I think Jonathan Taylor's a great player, I think. He's somewhere up there. Josh Jacobs a couple years ago was that guy, but he's more proof that it's also very short-lived.
Yeah.
That's the other sad fact about running backs is, you know, once they get a certain amount of mileage, they're done. Joe Mixon, I think, was a very good player. Not quite in that category, but really good. And what's his future at age 28?
You know the number that always comes to mind for me, Joe? 2.57. Do you know what that is?
Average career length
Average
for a running back?
Average career length. Of a running back in the NFL, 2.57 years.
Yeah.
That's, you know, speaking of Jaylen Warren, did you see this little clip?
What happened?
He's with Cam Hayward. He says, Danny Smith has discussed the possibility of having Justin Fields return kicks under the new kickoff rules.
Really? That would be interesting. Yeah. That's the kind of thinking I like. Bijan Robinson was a guy that the Falcons took eighth overall, and I am curious to see how that one turns out. It wasn't really worth it last season, but then again, he averaged almost 5 yards a carry. He caught 60 balls. He is a home run hitter. Mm-hmm. He had a 71-yard touchdown. That type of guy really intrigues me. Home run hitters intrigue me when it comes to running backs.
Absolutely. There's not many, though. That's the problem.
Right. We have full lines here. Let's get some opinions on this matter. We're waiting. 4 p.m. is the deadline. City limits, so you'll be keeping a close eye on social media, will you not?
Very closely.
Very closely. Let's go to the lines.
Here's Anthony in Oakland, one of our good buddies.
Hey, Anthony, what's up?
Gentlemen, I disagree with you. I think it costs hardly anything to give him the fifth-year option. Want him to be a happy camper. He was a part of that group that was disgruntled last year of running backs. I'm not disturbed by it. I mean, when I look at Le'Veon Bell, he didn't have long runs, but what made him so important was he was great in the passing game. When you look at that era, still a passing game, kept that safety out of the box, and you didn't have extra linebackers in the box because of their passing game. And hopefully now they have a threat of a passing game, but we'll see it more out of Tupac said. I don't even understand it, especially when I look at who's really being overpaid and who should have been talked to about a pay cut, no matter what he says about it or not, is Hayward.
Well,
that's where the money is. He should not be getting that kind of money when you went to Ben with the Bettis for pay cuts.
There's a lot there, Anthony. I guess I would start by saying I don't care if Najee Harris is happy or not. That's not my job if I'm running the Steelers, is to keep him happy. And the other thing is, at $6.8 million, you know, that could cost you a player or two. A Landon Roberts is a guy who's making $3.5 million, that kind of player. You know what I mean? It's not a lot of money, but it's not a totally insignificant amount of money. And then Najee Harris doesn't belong in the same sentence as Le'Veon Bell. He's one of the better running backs that I've actually seen all around. Is he still there?
I look at it through a different lens. I see that you've had an offensive coordinator who didn't know anything about designing offense, and you had a linebacker. When Le'Veon was here, let's be very clear, you would not have selective memories. Passing game was better, so we have a – was nobody in the extra in the box. Ben was here, extra person in the box. Pickett and the other motley crew they had, extra person in the box. Let's see what he looks like without that.
That's true. That's true, Paul. I would agree
with
that.
But again, I still don't see the burst. I still don't see the explosion. I still don't see the explosive plays from Najee Harris. I think he's a good workhorse back. He's a good, you know, guy who can grind, a good workhorse who grinds out yards. I get all that, Joe, but you know what? Those guys you can find anywhere. That's the point. I don't think he's a star. But to Anthony's point, if they do pick up the fifth-year option, I think we should be very clear. I don't think either you or I are going to criticize them for it. I mean, because he is right. If they do, it's not going to be that much money for one more year. And if it, you know.
But like I said, it does cost you a player.
Yeah.
Like another $3 million type player, whereas you could go out and get another running back for half that price that we're both arguing could do the same job.
Right.
So I don't know that I'm not going to shred them if they do it, but I don't think they should do it.
I don't either. But when we do talk, you know, sports talk, the one thing that is always, it's almost always set up like, well, either I agree with it or I hate it. And I think in this case, we're both saying the same thing, which is I wouldn't do it, not in love with it, but kind of lukewarm to it if they do.
Next call? Yeah, exactly. Next call?
Next up is Brian in Brookline.
Hello, Brian in Brookline.
Hi, guys. Well, I'm going to disagree with both of you again. I'm going to board with Anthony. So, Paul, you said, well, we could find a running back anywhere. Well, no, you can't, Paul, and I'm gonna tell you why. Is Najee doesn't fumble, and I'm not a Najee in love supporter. He doesn't put the rock on the ground. And when
we live in Pittsburgh and you need a mutter and you need a big back, he's able to fill that. You already invested a first-round draft choice in this guy. $6.8 million is peanuts. But when you say we could just find them like they're growing on trees.
They are. We just read off the list of the leading rushers for the last 10 Super Bowl champions. Most of them are guys that you would probably find on the back of a milk carton. The bottom line is there's a lot of good running backs that can fill the hole and do what they're asking Najee Harris to do. It's not like he's a superstar. I didn't say you can find a superstar anywhere. What I said was you can find a good running back pretty much anywhere because you can.
I agree with this sentiment that for what we have to pay for him for one more year, for what he doesn't fumble. He doesn't put the ball on the ground, and that's huge. Let me give you
an example. Nick Chubb is a great, great player. He is, and he was irreplaceable. And yet, they threw in a guy named Jerome Ford, the Browns did, and he put up Najee-like numbers. He averaged 4 yards a carry, 813 yards, and a long of 70. And he only fumbled once. Who the hell is Jerome? Who the hell is Jerome Ford?
Joe, can I just say this to you that you probably overlooked?
Yeah.
Look at Cleveland Browns' offensive line.
Right.
Look
you're arguing against yourself. If the Steelers build up their line,
which they're doing,
then you can get a lot of people to put up numbers behind that line, including Jerome Ford.
In that case, correct, but I've never seen these guys play in the NFL. So I don't know if this is gonna work or it's not gonna work, but Cleveland had a line, and into your model, it did work.
What about the Ravens? Look at the Ravens. They lose J.K. Dobbins, whoever else they've had in the past, and they throw in Gus Edwards, and he averages 4 yards a carry at 810 yards. Then they put in this kid, Keaton Mitchell. Nobody even knows who he is. He only averaged 8 yards a carry with a 60-yard run. Then they put in Justice Hill, the former sports editor at the Tribune Review, and he goes for 400 yards and 5 yards a carry, man, with a 40-yard run. It's if you can run the ball, if you have any interest in it, if you're at all adept at it, literally, I think hundreds of guys could do it. The 49ers pull guys off the couch to do it before they got McCaffrey. They did anyway. Guys like Mostert and all those other guys. If you're a star, it's different. We agree on that.
No.
But Najee's not a star.
I'm not saying he's a star. All I'm saying is Baltimore has a definitive thing. They are going to run no matter what, any year, anything. That's what
Baltimore
does.
Right. And again, you're making the same argument.
And that's what the Steelers are going to try and do with Arthur Smith. That's what they're doing to try and build their offensive lineup. That's what all of their entire offseason has been, right?
Besides which, Najee would still be here for this season. And a season is a long time in the NFL, and maybe they could come to some kind of agreement.
Again,
if he has a great season, maybe they can adjust from there.
Well, as I said, and I'll say it again, if they were to sign him, if they were to give him this fifth-year option, I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't think it's the worst thing that's ever happened. I just wouldn't. I'd be very lukewarm to it.
You wouldn't agree with it.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with it because I think here's the other part of it. You can also do this. Say you say, listen, we're not going to pick up your fifth-year option, but let's work on a three-year extension or a two-year extension or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
There's ways that you could do it.
This is phenomenal, City Limits, the soundtrack today. After all the
jets are in the box. Never go wrong with him, Hendrix.
Paul, you a Jimi Hendrix guy?
How can you not be a Jimi Hendrix
guy? Listen to this. Listen to this. Even a guy like City Limits, who's into modern day music, he puts this on the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Najee Harris, the popular topic today. 4 p.m. the deadline. Will they extend that 50-year option? Should they extend it? Should they? Paul and I arguing that while, you know, we're not going to be ready with pitchforks or anything if they don't, or if they do extend it, I should say, neither one of us would make that move if we were Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin. That you have a full season ahead with no doubt tons of punishment ahead at a position that breeds that kind of punishment. Why commit to the extra year beyond that?
Right.
Plus, non-star running backs, the sad truth is that they're very easy to find. And NFL teams prove that every year by going out and getting guys. I just mentioned the Browns and the Ravens doing that with replacements who were really good last year. Teams win Super Bowls every year. Three of the past 16 Super Bowl teams have had a 1,000-yard rusher. And that's not even impressive anymore. 1,000 yards is like 57, 58 yards per game.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but lots of people can do that. If you have a home run hitter, if you have a home run hitter, I'm signing him to a long-term deal. Forget about the fifth year. Najee isn't that. And that's not hating on him. I love his running style.
I would say it's probably you have to run for 1,500 yards before I start getting excited.
And hit homers, right?
Right, right. And score touchdowns and have big runs.
Yeah, man. I think that's all we're saying here. Now, could somebody like Anthony be proven right? They come in with a sophisticated scheme with a real coordinator and a real quarterback who knows how to win and is a running threat himself, by the way, Russell Wilson. Even at this age, if you watch some of the games last year, go back to the night game in Buffalo when, he, you know, it's not like he's taken off down the field for big runs, but he's keeping plays alive. He keeps defenses honest in the, you know, whatever you want to call it, a read option game. He can still get around Russell Wilson and make you play honest. So you have that, a real system, a real coordinator, a real quarterback, and an improved line. What might that mean for Najee? Who knows? We'll see. But you also can wait a little bit on this and make moves after the year.
Is it going to make him run, you know, have those 50, 60-yard runs?
Doubtful. But we'll see. Would it make him a 1,500-yard guy? I don't know.
Here's the thing. We can argue all day whether or not he's better than Jaylen Warren or Jaylen Warren's better than him. The point is, an undrafted guy is in the same conversation as your first-round pick, which only further enhances our overall point, which is you can find running backs almost anywhere you want to go find them.
Neutron, can we go to the lines again, please?
Yes, let's go to Dave in Bethel Park.
Dave, what's up?
How's it going today, guys?
Good.
Listen, I do think that they should give the two-year option. But here's a question for you. They're waiting until the deadline, or we're under the suspicion that they're waiting until the deadline. Would it be that they're going to extend this gentleman, maybe give him 2 years, let him see what he can do to settle this offense out pretty nicely with a new coordinator, and within that two-year window, go back into the draft and pull out a nice young stud within a two-year span?
Sure, they could sign him to a deal. Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. You know, the other part...
That's what I'm thinking they're going to do. I mean, look, not to cut you off, but take a look at this. You guys spoke about the Ravens last year. Check them for the year before that. They were hideous in their running game the year before, losing backs left and right to injury. I don't want that to be in the Steelers' nature. And the Steelers are also used to picking up a guy that they can tootle from the draft up. They don't really go out and sign running backs from other teams.
When were the Ravens hideous in their run game?
About 2 years ago, when they, and I think in their training and their practice, they had a guy go down, Dobbs, I guess his name was, or whatever.
Dobbins,
went
yeah.
down, and it seemed like Dobbins, yeah. And then every running back after that went down. Trust me, because we in my draft picks for fantasy, we kept picking them up, and they kept falling off.
Yeah, they were injured. Injured is different than bad, and yet
Very.
And yet, to the point, Kenyon Drake walked in for the Ravens. He walked in for the Ravens 2 years ago and ran for 500 yards at 4.4 a carry. Gus Edwards at 5 a carry. Justice Hill at 5.3.
Who was it last year? Didn't they pick up somebody late?
Yeah, that Mitchell kid. They put him in the lineup. He was already on the team, I think. But yeah, I think they maybe somebody else they put in.
I thought they last year. Hang on, let me look real quick.
What about the year the Rams? The first year the Rams went to the Super Bowl, they picked up some guy literally off a couch.
Yes.
The big dude they had. I forget who it was, and he comes in and starts running for 100 yards.
Oh, here you go. Wait. Oh, Melvin Gordon. Remember?
Yeah, Melvin Gordon last year. Right.
My point is, and he was, he's old, and, you know, they picked him up off the scrap heap. So my point there is, you know, we just need to, the idea that unless you're getting a full-blown elite superstar.
Yeah.
A lot of these backs are interchangeable. And the other part of it is, you know, the caller made one good point. If you give him this fifth-year option, you're essentially giving him 2 years in this new offense and new system to see if, you know, if it works. So, actually, I could listen to that argument. I really could.
Next.
Dave in Delmont,
there's some alliteration there, which means this could be Bob Pompiani getting back at me. What's up, Dave?
No, it is not. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, Paul Zeiss is the best.
Isn't he, though?
Yes, he is.
Well, thank
and,
you.
And secondly, I'm with you guys. I think if they keep him, it's good. If they don't, you know, I'd much rather they keep him. The most the thing I like about him is every time he gets the ball handed off to him, and first of all, I think he's going to have a breakout there this year. I don't think he's going to fumble. He's really secure with the ball. You can't say that about Jaylen Warren. So I think that should also be, you know, accounted for, too, when you go – if you decide to go get another running back. He's real good with handling the ball.
He is. I'm sort of surprised that the thrust of the argument for a lot of people is that he doesn't fumble a lot. I mean, that's a nice attribute to have, but this is just surprising me a little bit. Listen, in Najee's last two regular season games when they made the playoffs, he ran for 122 and 112 yards and 3 touchdowns. So maybe part of the argument against us and for him is that, hey, when they had an adult in the room running their offense late last season and a different quarterback, he thrived, and you'd be right, except in the playoff game, he only had 37 yards. But they played a much better defense. Yeah. Well, yeah. You'd be right about that.
That's the other part. And
the Baltimore game was against a JV defense.
Right, exactly. The Baltimore didn't have their best players playing, and the week before, was it Seattle they played the week before? And they just basically had a brutal run defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they were horrible.
They just ran right through them.
So...
There's so many.
He's a good player. He's a decent player. He's an above average player, I would say. Barely above average. I think there are a lot of guys who could put up these numbers. But that argument may hold water. That in a different system with all these other, you know, factors around him, you might see a 1,500 yard guy. Right. I don't think so, but you might. Plus, you have to get used to the idea that Warren's going to get his fair share of the carries. And is the third down back. One more.
We're rolling through with all the Daves. This is Dave in Ligonier.
Is this our third Dave?
Three Daves in a row.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I wouldn't keep him either. The days of the Walter Paytons and the Eric Dickerson, the superstar running backs, I think the game it changed too much. You could find anybody to do it now. I mean, I don't think you're going to see any more running backs like, you know, Walter Payton and like Eric Dickerson and stuff like that anymore. Do you think?
That's what we were just talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
there's been a few guys, but for the most part, you're not going to have those guys like that where the team is built around the running back, right? I mean,
and even the stars in the league don't have quite the impact. But then again, a lot of those guys didn't win in their day either, to be fair.
No.
Dickerson, O.J. Simpson, Barry Sanders, et cetera. And Walter Payton only did very, very late in his career when he was well past his prime. Let's move along here, Paul. There's a Penguins situation of brewing that we're going to talk to Jonathan Bomboli about here at the top of the hour. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19 Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let me read you the report from Frank Saravalli, who I think is very reputable, is the word, I believe. City Limits has the audio. This is from which podcast here? Limits. Hold on one sec to make sure I have this correct. It's Frank Saravalli, who's been covering the league for a long, long time, talking on the Daily Faceoff Live about the current dynamic between Kyle Dubas and Mike Sullivan.
Speculation today, what's happening with Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh. My understanding is there's a bit of a power struggle ongoing between Kyle Dubas and Mike Sullivan, in that Kyle Dubas would like to make some changes to the coaching staff and the assistants, and Mike Sullivan has been resistant of that. What does that mean for Sullivan's future in Pittsburgh? Really good question. So you listed six. There could be as many as 10 openings. And when you look at some of the guys that are available, Gav, if you want to throw that board up again quickly, that's the other enticing part, is there's kind of really no shortage of what I believe to be really good coaches.
That is interesting as things get a little bit juicy here. And I come back to a lot of things, but one stands out, Paul.
A power struggle.
What is Mike Sullivan thinking and doing? Does he not expect that people on his staff will get fired? He's lucky one of them isn't him. He hasn't won a playoff series since, two solar eclipses have passed now. And he just had the worst power play, maybe given the talent level, maybe in NHL history, given their talent level. And it got worse from last season. It was bad, too. And what, he just wants to run it back? With the same coaches, with Todd Reirden still running the power play? Sullivan, what is he doing? What is he thinking? Right. He got up there two weeks ago after the season and said how proud he was of everybody. The same team that quit around the Jake Guentzel trade. Chris Letang admitted it that night. They lost 6-0, and then they didn't play well for 2 weeks after that. I guess Sully just wants to run it all back.
And you also lost 12 games in overtime. Because you never practiced 3-on-3.
Right. Couldn't hold the lead.
And you can't hold a lead. I mean, Joe, three things about the Penguins under Sullivan the last few years. Not great on the power play. This year they were bad on the power play. Not great relative to their talent on the power play, I guess is the best way to say it. Not great in overtime. Can't hold leads. I agree with you 100%. I mean, we talked about this. I don't know what the case to bring Mike Sullivan back is at this point.
You'd be hard-pressed to make one.
You can't make one.
That's A. And B, this guy is chafing at the idea of his staff being removed? Has he lost his mind? What does he expect? This is pro sports.
Right. But here's the thing, Joe. The only argument that you can make is the cups. Well, you know what? At some point, just like the whole argument with Mike Tomlin – at some point, winning a Super Bowl shouldn't garner you a lifetime contract. And it's the same thing here. How many Stanley Cup winning coaches have gotten fired? I'd be willing to bet almost all of them have.
Well, this is getting very, very interesting here because of the rumors of New Jersey. Tom Fitzgerald's the guy who brought Mike Sullivan into the Penguins organization. He recommended to Jim Rutherford that Sully be hired in Wilkes-Barre as sort of a coach in waiting during the Mike Johnston era. So Fitzgerald and Sully go way, way back. And like Saravalli just said, there would be tons of teams interested in Sullivan. And like we were saying with Tomlin at points last year, of course he's a good coach, but that doesn't mean he's the right coach here anymore. And it might be best for Sully and the Penguins if he found a way to move on. I mean, I'm stunned by what's gone down this postseason in terms of the kinder, gentler Sully. I want the drill sergeant from when he got here.
And also, as we've seen in the NHL, almost all of these coaches have a shelf life where, you know, their message gets stale or their message gets old or the locker room starts to tune them out. And I keep hearing people inside that locker room say, we haven't tuned them out. We're listening to it. We know okay.
You could have fooled me.
Exactly. Well, then obviously, if that's the case, if you're listening to him and you're playing hard for him and you're giving your best effort for him, then clearly he's the problem because it ain't working.